Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The S&P credit downgrade, we now know that the U.S. is reduced to a AA+ from a AAA credit rating. But what does that really mean, and is it likely to have any real significant impact on our economy moving forward? To discuss that, I'm joined by Jessica Kelton. She is an adjunct economics instructor at Lansing Community College. Welcome to the program, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
So what does this downgrade really mean? I mean, is S&P the real authority on what our rating should be?
Well, Standard & Poor's is actually one out of the three major credit rating agencies. There are two others. There is Moody's and Fitch, and they have both actually kept our credit rating at a AAA status. And they are not the single authority on that. What they are basically doing is, based on their analysis, they have determined that they feel like the United States is not as safe of an investment as it once was before. So what that means is, just like you and I have a credit rating, if our credit score goes down, we should be expected to pay higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true for the United States. Generally, if we are a riskier investment, we should expect to pay higher interest rates. But that is not the case right now. What is going on right now is we have the rest of the world that is developing at a very, very rapid pace. We have economic growth that is just outpacing at least the developing world, very much so. So what's going on is you have all these savers with a great deal of income and money, and they are willing to put their money in the United States, the safest investment in the world. So what that's doing is that's keeping interest rates down. So you have these two competing forces. You have the United States looking riskier, but you have other countries who just disagree with S&P.
What about the market reaction? We've seen such a big drop over the past week, and then 600 points today down on the Dow. Why do you suspect the markets are reacting so negatively if it's ultimately not that big of an impact in terms of our slight reduction in our rating?
Well, I think the markets are reacting to what S&P is implying. Now, when they downgraded the U.S. credit rating, they noted that the political climate is very troubling right now. And I think that many investors are reacting to the fact that we are unlikely to get any kind of meaningful fiscal stimulus through this government anytime soon. And I think that markets are suspecting that a double-dip recession may be in the works. And that's still not clear if that's going to happen, but it is certainly a possibility.
And in terms of the downgrade, you know, the debt ceiling debate led to this plan of reducing the deficit. The real question is, shouldn't a plan that actually brings our deficit or under some kind of control have a positive impact on our credit rating?
Yeah, it should. The problem is lawmakers, at least lawmakers that are elected right now, have no interest in really fixing the problem. The problem that we're facing isn't our federal budget deficit. It is our trade deficit. We are essentially consuming more than we produce every single year. When we do that, we continue to borrow money from other nations like China and other countries that are developing right now. And when we do that, we are essentially shrinking our economy relative to other economies. So it is really hurting us. And oftentimes economists refer to the twin deficit. That's our federal budget deficit, and it tends to go along with our trade deficit. So that's something we really need to be talking about right now, trade, and how it affects Americans and our exports.
I'm talking to Jessica Kelton. She's an adjunct economics instructor at Lansing Community College. Jessica, in a blog you wrote for ProgressiveMichigan.com, you wrote that, quote, the political climate in Washington is dominated by a recalcitrant minority of congressional representatives dead set on forcing their ideological conclusions that they came to in their freshman year in college on everyone else, despite how much representative democracy may resist their version of utopia. And, you know, many of those lawmakers say they're just trying to finally make us face these hard decisions and get our spending under some form of control. What's wrong with that approach?
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with responsible government and responsible fiscal policy. The issue I have with the Tea Party is they still haven't explained to me how cutting taxes during a time when no business wants to spend any money right now or expand and create any jobs right now. How cutting taxes is actually going to create jobs and grow this economy. And so their argument is that if we, in fact, increase taxes to fix our budget deficit, that somehow this is going to harm the economy. Now, not all tax cuts are created the same. Some tax cuts could, in fact, hurt our economy right now, but tax cuts on the wealthy are very unlikely to, or I'm sorry, tax increases on the wealthy are very unlikely to hurt our country right now because they're just not the consumers in the economy. They don't consume like lower income earners. So increasing their tax rate right now is probably not going to have a huge effect on the economy, but it's probably going to have a huge effect on lowering our deficit. So that just doesn't seem responsible to me, their argument. And I am completely open-minded to, you know, an efficient government that runs well.
Well, you talk about the trade deficit, but when it comes to spending, one of the key points that it seems that everyone agrees will need to be dealt with is our Social Security and Medicare spending. Do you agree, then, that those types of spending plans have to be reined in or will have to be reined in soon?
Well, I hate to be the dissenter, but I also disagree with that. One of the misconceptions about Social Security is that Social Security is not really exactly in trouble right this second. We have $2 trillion worth of assets sitting in the Treasury account for Social Security, and it is supposed to be solvent for the next 30 years. So while we do have some adjustments that do need to be made for Social Security, we already pay into that program every year. So why should beneficiaries have to take cuts when it's already been funded by those who are paying into it? As for Medicare, there are also issues with Medicare, more issues than with Social Security. The biggest issue with Medicare, though, is rising health care costs. If legislators had taken the opportunity to increase competition in the health care markets, we probably wouldn't have this problem with rising health care costs. And Medicare, the issues we're seeing there, we probably wouldn't be seeing them right now if we would just We need to stop compartmentalizing all the problems and start looking at the entire economy when we start prescribing policy prescriptions.
Well, you talk about the trade deficit, and it's certainly that's a clear problem, although it seems like at this point a lot of our manufacturing base has been gutted. And when you go up against countries like China with their incredibly cheap labor, how in the world are we going to be able to upright that situation?
That's a really good question. There are some ways to do it with tariffs, and also there are some issues with how China values the currency. But there is a very simple way, and actually President Obama's administration has been working on that, and that is to open up more trade with Chinese consumers. The Chinese country, I mean, there are a billion people over there, and all they've been doing is working and saving their money. That's why they own so much of our debt right now. How about instead of us buying all their imports and giving them all our money so they can loan it back to us, how about we start selling them our exports and growing our economy? That's really the key, and it's not a controversial answer to fixing the economic crisis we're facing right now.
And where do we go from here, then? Are you hopeful that we'll reestablish the AAA rating with S&P, and do you suspect that further negotiations between Republicans and the White House when it comes to our budget are going to be smoother?
You know, I was reading online actually earlier that I think S&P has only upgraded somebody's credit rating after a downgrade only 5 times, and I think the shortest amount of time was 9 years. So I don't know how hopeful I am that our credit rating will go up. I am still apprehensive about future negotiations between Republicans and Democrats. I think one of the biggest problems is we have this perpetual cycle of politics as usual. Our government and our economy, it doesn't run on a political cycle, unfortunately for them. So I'm hoping they'll overcome the politics, but I'm afraid that might not be the case.
Jessica Kelton, adjunct economics instructor at Lansing Community College, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.